Blog Talk Radio.
Changing Direction with Michelle Rosenthal is sponsored by Timberline Knolls Residential Treatment Center. Want to change who you are and how you live? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Changing Direction with me, Michelle Rosenthal, where every show is all about how you can create the change you choose. On every episode, we combine scientific research, cutting-edge guests, and personal stories that highlight the challenges and successes of deliberately deciding to change the direction of your life. Now, let's start making your change possible. Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Changing Direction. I am your host, Michelle Rosenthal, and this show is your source for how to heal trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder. I am the founder of HealMyPTSD.com, which is the place where survivors, caregivers, and healing professionals go for information, cutting-edge research, and ideas for how to feel better and reclaim your life after trauma. And I just am feeling so positive about what that all really means. I mean, you know me, I'm like that every day. But even more so today, because every time I interview an expert who says, yes, it's possible to heal, and I had an amazing interview this morning with a special guest that I'm going to leave you hanging in suspense. We'll be announcing it shortly. Every time I get more and more confirmation, I say, yes, it is true. All the time that I thought it was possible to heal, all the times I tell you we can feel better, every time I ask, and I will be asking the same question to our special guest this afternoon, is it possible to feel better and how do we get it done? Every time I ask and we get an affirmative answer, that's another piece in the puzzle of your recovery process. So before we dive into today's show, which is all about your life purpose and really how you can use life purpose in the PTSD and trauma recovery process, and it can be done, and we are going to talk with an expert today about how to do that. He is a man that I greatly admire, have admired from afar for so many years, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But his new book is called Life Purpose Boot Camp, and I have for you today Eric Maisel. So in a moment, we're going to bring him on and really dig deep into this topic. Before we do, let me remind you that if you are at any moment feeling like you just wish you had a group of people who really understood what it means to be you, what it means to cope with post-traumatic effects and PTSD on a daily basis, please come join us. The Heal My PTSD forum is free. It's open 24/7. You can find us on healthunlocked.com/HealMyPTSD. And, of course, you can always hop on to the HealMyPTSD.com blog and click on the Health Unlocked forum icon to go straight to the forum. We are there for you. Come join us at healthunlocked.com/HealMyPTSD. So now that we got that little piece of business out of the way, let's get down to what today is really about. Dr. Eric Maisel is the author of more than 40 books. His interests range from creativity and the creative life to the field of creativity coaching, which he founded, as well as natural psychology and the new psychology of meaning that he is recently developing. So you can sort of see already that he has a very broad scope, which is why I love his insights and ideas. Dr. Eric Maisel, welcome to Changing Direction Radio.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent. Super today.
Excellent. Awesome. All right. Well, you probably do not remember that a decade ago, you and I corresponded because I was working at the Fashion Institute of Technology, and I had been I had written a grant and received it to create a Creativity Across the Curriculum program at FIT. And I had reached out to you because I wanted to bring you. I was so excited. I was going to have the funds to bring you to work and do this whole event at FIT. And then I know you're busy, so you didn't wonder, what the heck happened to that girl? But that girl had, the mother of all PTSD meltdowns. So I quit teaching, left New York City, moved to Florida, did hardcore recovery, and now here I am, instead of teaching, interviewing you on the radio about how we can take your perspective and apply it to the recovery process, which I since I've finished my recovery, now when I look back, I see how many creative things I did and how much I used creativity. And most importantly, I see how useful having a life purpose would be during that time. So I want to thank you for giving me some time today to really sort of parse this out together.
You're welcome. I feel like lying and saying I remember that 10 years ago just like it was yesterday, but yes, I don't.
I didn't think you would, but I just thought it was fun. Like we do in a past life have a connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So your new book is called Life Purpose Boot Camp, the 8-week breakthrough plan for creating a meaningful life. And I have read the book cover to cover, and I wanted to start by just talking a little bit about the way the book is structured. One of the things that I really loved is it's very easy to read. You've got everything broken down in an outline that sort of is very consistent throughout the book. You've got testimonials from people working through the program, so we get to see and hear people in action. And you also, the book is not overly, it's not 300 pages, which makes it very manageable, which for post-traumatic stress disorder and the PTSD mm-hmm. mindset makes it very easy to sort of get into and hang on. Let's talk about life purpose. Before we even get into your program, let's define life purpose so we're all sort of on the same page. How would you define life purpose?
There isn't any. There are life purposes. We're stuck, held hostage by that phrase, the purpose of life or the meaning of life. For thousands of years, we've had a certain kind of metaphor that meaning is out there, that life purpose is out there at the top of a mountain or at some guru's feet, and we've been really held hostage to that metaphor for a long time. I think it's becoming clearer that meaning isn't an objective something out there. Life purpose isn't an objective something out there. Meaning is a certain kind of psychological experience inside of us. That's what it is. And life purpose, our life purposes, are our choices. So for me, the simple definition of a life purpose is one of those choices we make having to do with how we want to manifest our values and our principles and how we want to make ourselves proud in life. It's a mistake, a mental mistake, I think, to imagine that there's one life purpose. We really get stuck there. Creative people get stuck there all the time, imagining that they're creating, that the creating they do is their only life purpose. And what happens for them is maybe they're highly productive, but also very lonely and isolated, and ultimately commit suicide, not because they couldn't paint a painting, but because they didn't have a life. So I think it's very important that we realize that we need multiple life purposes. I sometimes call it a menu of life purposes, so that we have different things to turn to on a given day, which reflect the important decisions we want to make about life.
I really love that idea because right off the bat, you're talking about not being imprisoned by ideas, not being stuck by what we thought or what we expected or what seemed like it should, quote unquote, be, but
That's
giving
right.
us some freedom and latitude.
Yeah, or else we just keep looking for something. It's because life is difficult, we keep having the feeling, well, is this all there is, or am I just sort of excited matter going through the universe, or isn't there something else? And there isn't something else. There are our decisions about how we want to live, and that's primarily what we're about in life. And if we don't make those decisions, then we're not living our life purposes. We, in effect, don't have life purposes. So the first part of this task is identifying and articulating those life purposes, and that's a certain kind of work. And then the second part is getting those life purposes that we've just identified onto our daily to-do list, and that's another kind of work. And both are equally arduous. It's hard to get those life purposes named, and it's hard to actually live them on a daily basis, considering how much of our time is spent around day jobs and chores and responsibilities and one thing and another. It's hard to find the time, find the wherewithal to live our life purposes when the rest of life is so taxing. So it's a special challenge. It can be done, but it's a special challenge to get our life purposes onto our daily to-do list.
I hear what you're saying as it takes focus and commitment and dedication. And in Life Purpose Bootcamp, I want to read a little bit of a little snippet from it because I just thought you framed everything so beautifully and so simply here. You write that meaning is a psychological experience that you might experience accidentally, as when you look up at the night sky, or that you can create through your conscious efforts to experience it. Naturally, you want and need that experience. All human beings do. But more important than the experience of meaning is the decision to live your way, that is, to live according to your life purposes. Once you understand that it is more important to manifest your values, principles, intentions, and life purposes than it is to experience meaning, you arrive at the wonderful and calming understanding that you do not have to look for meaning, wait for meaning, fight for meaning, or miss meaning. All you have to do is live your intentions and be human.
I agree with that.
I mean, the man who wrote that is just so brilliant and insightful, isn't he?
I think super.
The reason is just so super. And the reason I think that it's so poignant is because it allows us to stop thrashing around and realize, and this is where I feel it dovetails so beautifully with trauma recovery. Trauma recovery is all about shifting out of powerless into powerful. Shifting out of default mode, I just react to whatever happens to me, and into respond and create mode, I decide how I respond and create what I live and how I feel and who I am. And that's really what your Life Purpose Bootcamp is talking about, too, the idea of being able to just focus on living and choosing and acting as who we want to be. Would you say that that's true?
Yeah, and becoming the person equal to this work. Recovery work becomes one of our life purposes. In my language, and I spent a chapter on this, we often need to upgrade our personality in order to be equal to the life purposes we choose for ourselves. If we choose as a life purpose to be a world-class performer and we experience performance anxiety, then we have to work on ourselves to reduce our experience of anxiety or to learn how to manage that anxiety. So often, one of our life purposes is to improve ourselves. And whether that's recovery work or framed a different way, that's very typically among our life purposes. Again, there's no single life purpose. It would be a mistake to say my recovery is the only thing that defines me. That would be too small. But it's an important part of the process of being the person we want to be. The recovery process is one of our life purposes.
My guest today is Dr. Eric Maisel. He is the author of Life Purpose Bootcamp, the 8-week breakthrough plan for creating a meaningful life. You can find out more about him and the book at ericmaisel.com. And I should also mention that the book is available in retail outlets both on and offline. Dr. Maisel, let me follow up what you just said, because it brought to mind a question. How does having a life purpose or a recovery life purpose, or however you would title it, how do you feel that having a life purpose about recovery would sustain, supplement, direct, support a PTSD recovery process?
Well, each of the life purposes that we articulate for ourselves, and let's again think of it as a menu. Let's say that our life purposes are to be successful at recovery and to create and to have strong relationships and to be of service and to be an activist. Whatever that list is, let's just imagine we create that menu. Then we have to actually pay attention to that menu. And I suggest a morning life purpose check-in or morning meaning check-in, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, where we look at our day and we say to ourselves, how do I get some of these things, some of these life purpose activities onto my daily to-do list today? So for someone in recovery, whatever is the current work, maybe your current work is that you're easily triggered and you're trying to look at what those triggers are so that you know exactly what triggers an episode. Okay, so that goes on to your daily to-do list, becomes your recovery practice for that day. Maybe that's 15 minutes of work, maybe that's a half hour of work of chatting with yourself in your journal about your triggers. Then you move on to your next life purpose choice. Maybe it's working on your novel for half an hour, etc. Then comes the part of the day that I call meaning neutral, where we don't pester ourselves about meaning because we're just having to run errands or stuck in traffic or doing our day job or what have you. So the day becomes a negotiation between those periods of time where we get to live our life purposes and the rest of the day where we don't have the opportunity to live our purposes. And in this way, by thinking of each one of these life purpose opportunities or choices as available to us on a daily basis, then we can make our recovery much, much stronger and much more systematic because we're actually getting to some element of the recovery process every day.
I see. So really what you're talking about is using the life purpose process to help us organize and commit to things that are important to us.
Exactly. And I mean, go ahead. Absolutely.
Yes, no, go ahead.
I was just going to piggyback and say, we often know that we want to learn some practice for ourselves or institute some practice for ourselves. It might be an anxiety management practice because we know that anxiety gets in the way in our lives, or it might be a cognitive practice where we know that we're not really thinking thoughts that serve us and we'd like to stop that. Well, it's one thing to have insight about that, to know that we want to make a change there. It's another thing to make the change. And that's where regularity and routine and practice, all those kinds of words, need to become pretty sacred in a person's vocabulary, where you're actually turning to the work that you've set out for yourself on a daily basis. Especially if it's a new habit, we know that new habits take 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever they take. And therefore, if you're trying to institute one of your new life purpose choices, then A, you give it a try, and B, you forgive yourself when you fail at doing it on a given day. It's a really important part of recovery process or just life, is remembering that when we don't manage to do something that we had intended to do, there are two things we must do. We have to forgive ourselves instantly and then get back on the horse instantly. And so by remembering this, that we're trying to institute new practices, that they're not going to be so easy to institute, that we're going to have to be gentle with ourselves and calm and careful in how we talk to ourselves about what we're doing. If we understand all of this, then we have a chance of really progressing in our recovery program more rapidly than slowly.
My guest today is Dr. Eric Maisel, the author of Life Purpose Bootcamp. And Dr. Maisel, just piggybacking on that, forgiveness is, as I'm sure you know, such a touchy subject in PTSD recovery, whether we forgive others, those who have perpetrated our traumas, and especially ourselves. I find it's really difficult. During all my crazy PTSD years and my recovery, mm-hmm. I was so mm-hmm. mean to myself, so mm-hmm. mean. And it's very hard to forgive yourself. So if you're already I'm much better at it now because I'm symptom-free and I'm loving my life, so it's easy to say, oh, Michelle, you'll do better tomorrow. But
that's right.
When you're stuck in that PTSD mindset that is so unforgiving, what do you suggest? Or what have you seen work that helps self-forgiveness come a little more easily?
Well, I believe in ceremonies and rituals. I think this is a certain kind of work, this self-forgiveness. And therefore, I think it requires that we create ceremonies and rituals of self-forgiveness. I do a little exercise, and I run a five-day writing workshop around the world called Deep Writing Workshop. One of the exercises, this is not going to sound like a writing exercise, but this is my kind of workshop. One of the exercises, I have folks name a regret, something they regret about their writing life, like I haven't written enough, or I should have been multiply published by now, or some regret. Write it on a piece of paper, and then tear that piece of paper up and throw the shreds of paper up in the air. It's a very powerful exercise because we hate making a mess. You know, we hate tearing up paper and throwing it in the air. It's funny how powerful these simple ceremonies and rituals can be. And so that's all by way of saying one of the things that can help is to actually dream up ceremonies and rituals of self-forgiveness and do them. Again, dreaming up a lovely ritual or ceremony isn't enough. We then have to actually enact it. So I think that's one piece of it, is to dream up exercises for ourselves, ceremonies, rituals that help us. I think getting support is important. It's actually not that easy to get the right support in the world. The mental health world is a very complicated place, full of not the most wonderful help. So it's not so easy to find the right help out there, but getting help out there, getting help in our recovery and getting help for our self-recovery is important. And again, to repeat something I've been saying, I think the idea of making this a practice, making it a routine and ritual thing where you, let's say that you know that self-forgiveness is something that's hard for you and crucial. Let's say you know both of those things. Then that had better be a daily thing for you to attend to. That's really the essence of recovery, is we know the language, first things first, and one day at a time. But really the center of it is every single day. It's every single day. So although it sounds odd to spend a lot of time every single day forgiving ourselves, that may be what's required, is paying attention to the self-forgiveness part of this on a daily basis.
And that could become a part of your life purposes in recovery, couldn't it?
Absolutely. That's right. And just to repeat the way I'm saying it, just to kind of oversell the idea, you create a menu. And if self-forgiveness or some other aspect of recovery is what you consider to be vital for your well-being, then that becomes one of your life purpose choices. And you don't have to create a brilliant sentence that ties all of these different life purposes together. That may be too hard to do. They may be like apples and oranges. And you may not be able to get all of your life purpose choices into the same sentence. And that's fine. That's not a problem. It's actually lovely to create a life purpose statement if you can pull that off. But if you have so many disparate things that you're trying to work on, then just hold it as a menu rather than as a statement. Print it out. Know it for yourself. Know what your life purpose choices are for yourself.
And Dr. Maisel, your life purpose choices will change over time. Is that right? Because you'll move through and perhaps you fulfill one or two or three or more of the purposes. And then would you, you know, purposefully go back through your life purpose? Well,
oh,
it
yeah.
would, right?
Not,
and then you would need to
not,
update your
just,
menu?
Absolutely. It's not just that we sort of succeed at something and check it off our list. We may completely change our mind about our life purposes. I interviewed a woman who was a nun and then stopped believing in God. Her life purpose choices changed. Instead of, you know, being of service in her order, et cetera, it was to be an activist atheist. So things like that happen in life. We change, our belief system changes, our circumstances change. Maybe one of our life purposes is to be a certain kind of artist, and then some machinery arrives that makes it impossible for us to be an artist anymore because it's too easy for the machine to do the thing we've been doing. It's like being a cobbler or something. Who can be an independent cobbler anymore with a little shop on the corner? It just doesn't exist anymore. So the universe changes, circumstances change. So it's not just that we succeed. It's not really like a checklist where we check them off and then we've done our life purposes. It's that our contexts keep changing in life, and we have to change with them.
I knew that 10 years ago I was right on about you. My guest today is Dr. Eric Maisel. His book, Life Purpose Boot Camp, the 8-week breakthrough plan for creating a meaningful life. And really, it, all kidding aside, one of the things that I most respect about your work is how you constantly place creativity in the forefront of everything that you do, whether it's creating a life purpose or anything else, writing. And I feel so strongly that creating and recreating who we are after trauma in terms of our identity is so critical to the process. And everything that you write about and everything that you do in terms of your approach to meaning and everything is so really in alignment with that idea of self-creating. If you had to have an umbrella under which you placed everything you do, whether it's trauma or not related, it all is about really creating the self, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think creativity or creating is a pliable word and a flexible word that now stands for what manifesting potential and the human potential movement, what all of that language stood for in the 60s and 70s, way back when. I think it the word has grown into a word that now represents a lot of the ideas of the human potential movement. That's why I think it's such a rich word. Technically, like in the world of business, creativity means only innovation and problem solving. And those are such small ideas compared to how the people I know, the people I work with, are holding the word creativity as being about creating oneself, creating one's identity, creating one's meaning in life.
Right. We are all out of time. Dr. Eric Maisel, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and sharing your creativity with me today. I just so deeply appreciate you and your work.
Thanks so much for having me today.
All right. Have a great rest of the afternoon.
You too.
Okay, so there you go. One of my, I have to tell you, I've been following Dr. Maisel's work since, seriously, 1990. So that's a really long time that I have read his books, used his teachings and his writings in my own writing career as a professional writer, and also in my own self-development as I kept striving and struggling for how am I going to get my recovery done? How am I going to be the person I really want to be? So if you're interested in finding out more about him, you can find him at ericmaisel.com. And now, as we go into the very final moments of the show, it is time for the Healing Thought of the Week, which is a tiny little excerpt from my book out on March 16th, but you can get it early. The book is called Your Life After Trauma, Powerful Practices to Reclaim Your Identity. You can find out all about it at yourlifeaftertraumabook.com. The idea this week is this: letting outside sources, people, experiences, symptoms, define your internal landscape places perspectives that are not yours at the center of who you are. Slowing down your emotions, responses, and actions, and making deliberate decisions about who you want yourself and your world to look like helps bring the world back into focus. So my challenge to you this week is, if you were going to slow down one action, activity, or experience today, how would you do it? That's my challenge to you. And as you do it, remember that you have enormous healing potential. The goal is learning to access it. You can do this. Dig deep. I believe in you.
You can conquer the past and create your future.
For more information about Changing Direction Radio and to listen to our free archives and podcasts, visit changeyouchoose.com.